In this episode of SeaWorld Drag Race Tea Time, Damon and Gary watch as the girls get political and musical. Aren't you glad the queens come together in this off Broadway reimagining of Greece through the lens of the current Cheeto in charge? Listen as the guys get critical in this politically packed show. Use your tiny hands and click to watch as SeaWorld Drag Race Tea Time Season 11, Episode 4 starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey there, kitty girls. It's Sunday, March 24th, 2019, and we want to welcome you to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, Season 11, Episode Number 4, known as Trump the Rusical. Because there's nothing better than smashing up a beloved film / stage musical with current day politics. So, for those of you that don't know...
What's that sage sound?
For those of you that don't know who we is, I'm Gary. I'm one of the fabulous co-stars for as hosts for this show. And over here to my side is...
Hey, everyone. It's Damon. And I'm sorry for my voice and probably what you may see throughout this episode. I'm just going to put that out there right here and now. It's a mess up here, and I'm doing the best that I can, but I'm going to make it through. I'm going to plow through it like this musical.
Girl. So true. All right, so let's jump right in to the mini challenge, shall we?
So for today's mini challenge, you'll be breaking news in the look and style of my favorite TV anchor, Rachel Maddow. We're calling it, Why You Maddow, though?
All right. So, we're going to go through this. I'm just going to jump right into what I have to say because I nearly peed myself when this was revealed as the mini challenge. I have loved Rachel Maddow since she first came on air at MSNBC with her show. I have seen her in real life. She is small. She's petite. And she was running very quickly, like jogging, moving very quickly from one location to another in Minneapolis. I was there for a Leather Pride event. And I had found out that she was there. And I was scoping out. And I was like, and she just kind of, and I was like, oh, I saw Rachel. So, yes, and she's an out lesbian with her partner Susan, and they have a dog, and they like live in Massachusetts, and she's like flaming liberal. So I was like ecstatic beyond belief. And then, of course, I really did pee myself when they went to do this, and lo and behold, Miss Rachel Maddow pops on the screen.
Oh, you have no idea. That was so fun.
And talks to the girls and does all these like crazy RuPaul catchphrases.
Which is where that comes from.
Oh my gosh. I died. I thought if I had been a queen in this season, in this moment, I would have just, that's it. I'm done. Pass out on the floor. There's nothing more for me.
I'm good now. I don't need the $100,000.
Hand me my tweeter trophy. I'll just see my way out. I don't need to continue the competition. Fuck the $100,000 or the rest of it. I'm already here. I'm a Rue girl. Bye. It was crazy to me. So yes, they have to. So they. Here's the crazy thing. Rockstar Wigs lends them 12 pieces of hair that on the mannequin sort of look alike, but as we'll see here, these looks not alike. No. I also want to briefly mention about Mercedes Amon Diamond. This nonplussed look for when Rue announces the mini challenge is hysterical to me because it definitely comes across as, what the fuck is this shenanigan?
Who? Like, who is this?
right. Ooh. And then in confessional, she talks about when she was living in Africa that they don't have Rachel Maddow. They have goats. which everyone has been trying to decipher with a decoder ring and be like, wait, is Goats a TV network? Like, do the goats tell the news? Those are some funny things I heard online. I was like, goats delivering
the news? Like, is this what this is? Are we getting the news from a goat? Do like
right.
Are they like, do you like pass it out like paper? Like,
I don't know, girl. I really don't know.
They have a news goat that walks around for, I don't know. It just.
Right.
But on that same token, though, we have to realize, you know, first of all, I will say this in the nicest way I know how, you know, just the same as I felt about with Plastique, where I went from another country. They have been in the country for a minute. Like both of them. Like both right. of them, I believe, came to the United States around 11. So while they lived in another country for a while, mm-hmm. they've also probably lived here for a while. Mm-hmm. How long is determined by, you know, when they actually moved here, blah, blah, blah. But and it's one of those things where I kind of go, okay, you know, I can get some things, but there are other things I don't get. I will pull my fate. I will say, I will clap my shade fan to Plastique for not knowing Mariah Carey. I don't care if you've been in this country. If you've been in this country 11 years from 2018, which is probably when they recorded.
Right.
If you've been here in 11 years, you know who Mariah Carey is. You've heard something of hers. Mm-hmm. You may not know everything about her.
Right.
But you know something.
Right. And
sorry.
No, that's fine, because you bring up a valid point about the age thing. I raised an eyebrow when Plastique last week was like, I don't really know anything about pop culture. And I'm like, mm-hmm. You know, bitch, like, you're 21. So if this was filmed when you were 20 and you've been here since you were 11, that gave you 9 years to get caught up on what the hell pop culture was. And then a lot of people shaded her online and were like, oh, I don't know pop culture. But then she, like, pees herself when Troye Sivan comes backstage during Untucked. Interesting. And then, you know, Miss Mercedes has been here since approximately when she was 10 or 11, same age range. And she's actually 30 now, so she would have been, what, 29 at the time. So that's a long time to be here to, like, kind of be aware of some things. So, I mean, sure, you could.
There's a possibility, like, you live in a sheltered environment, you're lived in your culture, right. what have you, where everything around you is just based on that culture. I can get that. Mm. But I also think there's more to it. Like, right. you can't just, like, not turn on a TV or not, yeah. you know, unless you don't have a TV. I mean, I get, you know, like, there's a possibility,
right.
slim possibility that right. you won't have any idea about anything.
And to be fair, Rachel Maddow, you know, is a political commentary show. So if you're younger, you may not really, that may not be on your radar. Like, you may not have thought heavily about the importance of knowing what the hell's going on in politics in our country and how it impacts your life. But usually as you age, you figure that shit out, and then you get out and you get your ass and you vote. And you watch shows like hers or others.
Exactly.
So, that being said, there's Brooklyn Heights, looking like Susie Orman, in my opinion, just in a dark wig. And, like, I'm just going to go through real quick. Miss Ariel Versace, she looks like a very tan Rachel. Which kind of cracked me up, because I was like, Rachel is never that tan, not even when they put, you know, makeup on her face, like, and heavily applied it in a new market. Silky Nutmeg Ganache made me laugh because she couldn't read the teleprompter without her real glasses, so she wore two sets of glasses and then still couldn't read all the words.
I have done that before.
So
put my glasses on and then put another pair of glasses on to kind of so I can have a look. Without having to, like, not be able to read.
Right. Here's Mercedes. You know, they were focusing on the word ginormous. A bunch of the queens did not know how to pronounce ginormous. It's like they'd never seen it before. Evie Oddly would not sit still for the entire segment. So the green screen halo was in effect almost from the moment they turned the camera on until they turned it off of her, because she would not sit still. And so the motion kept messing up. So if you look at her hands in this shot, like, there's this weird alien kind of green glow. And I was like, girl. Yeah, girl. Sit still. Raja got tripped up by Joynormous. Which just it just makes me laugh. Sugarcane is giving me a little bit of Susie Orman part two. Like, and I hate saying it, but it's like, there's just something about it. Plastique is reminding me of Manila in her season as the correspondent.
Oh, it's awful.
And she and they got tripped up on Good God, Get a Grip, Girl. I was like, yeah. I was like, come on, just like. But then again, it's somewhat an acting challenge, but it's a teleprompter reading challenge. Honestly, like, can you functionally read the screen as it's coming up? Miss Scarlet Envy, who I have to say, looking back on it, was very highly engaged and like. Delivering in the moment. Nina West. God bless her. I what else can I say? I'm in love with her, like, as a queen. I think she's hysterical, and I don't know much of her prior to this season because I haven't seen her in person, which is like, you know, I lost points on my gay card for that one.
Oh.
Miss Vanjie, to me, was the most hysterical because she could not fully read the teleprompter and was just constantly mean mugging and fucking with the keyboard, not reading the teleprompter. Like, it was just the biggest train wreck ever. I was like, Vanessa, come on.
It was just one of those moments where you're just like, I don't want to look at this, but I want to look at this. I want to just like watch this train wreck keep going down. Because, I mean, and good thing is she made it funny. So good for you.
Yeah, she did. Back to Brooklyn, the most infamous word of the entire mini challenge that everyone was fucking up, left and right, cracked my ass up. And someone said something to me about, like, would I have been challenged by that word? And it's like, no, because I know what that word is. I have been haunted by this word my entire life because it does not look like it fucking sounds.
No, it doesn't.
So, yes. Then they're back after they do their green screen shoot, and we have a lovely, like, parade of black, you know, dark-haired lesbians in glasses looking like they're lining up for Lilith Fair. It's kind of crazy, but it was kind of funny to me. I was like, check that action out. And Scarlet Envy is the winner. And to be fair, she kind of looked quite a bit like Rachel and I think kind of got the mannerisms right. Like, she wasn't over-exaggerated, which some of the queens I thought were doing. And she also didn't really kind of fuck it up. So in a way, she might have won by default just purely for the way she mimicked Rachel and didn't seem to, like, crash and burn on the wording in this case. So, yeah, for me, it was my favorite mini challenge to date. I absolutely love it. Scarlet Envy won a $3,000 gift card from the Divas Jewels. So, yet again, a multi-$1,000 gift. So, yeah, apparently we got some lovely sponsors this year.
Ooh. Oh. So, for me, this was a very interesting challenge. I wasn't nearly as impressed with it as you were. While I love Rachel Maddow and I know who she was and all that stuff, this was kind of just like, you're reading from a teleprompter. Don't fuck it up.
Right.
Kind of thing. And you all had to look the same. Like, that's what it kind of boiled down to for me. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And some people, I mean, the Colonel thing, just I wish to God I knew what happened there. Like, is it just because you've not seen the word before? Is it? What is it? Because it will fuck you up if you've never seen the word before. Like, but I'm from Kentucky, and KFC is, like, everywhere. So,
yeah, I wasn't sure about what happened with Silky, because then she does that whole, like, KFC thing. And I was like, okay, in order for her to get KFC, she must have been told by the stage crew that the word is Colonel. And then she would have been like, oh, Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. Because I'm like, to me, there is no other logic leap from not knowing the word and fucking it up to screaming KFC. I'm like, no, like, we're missing something here. So, yeah. So that was the mini challenge. Why you Maddow, though? Honestly, I would be happy if they brought it back. And I would be ecstatic if Rachel Maddow was a guest judge. But that's just me. So something maybe that may change when we get to the next season or two.
See if they do it. It at all.
Yeah. Okay. You ready for the Maxi Challenge?
Yes.
Now, for this week's Maxi Challenge, you'll be putting a political twist on my favorite high school musical, Grease. In the lip sync extravaganza, Trump the Rusical.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, we got quiet.
I feel very mixed about this.
Ditto. So
here's my feeling. Finally, at season 11, I think they've decided to head on deal with politics.
Yeah.
In a drag way. Like, that's not true. They did it before where they had to, like, from the bully pulpit, state their platform to be president.
Yeah.
I forget what season that was.
Five.
Yeah, but I mean, right. So what? It's been 6 fucking years since like we've gotten back around to this thing. Like, I'm like, I don't know about that. And the fact that they mashed it up with Grease, which is one of the most beloved musicals in the gay community, because it's about a down and out girl that feels kind of out of place, and she met this boy, and then, you know, she gets done over, and there's like some crazy wackiness that ensues, and it's all during high school in the, like, you know, the teeny bopper era. Yeah. So the fact that
it was a thing.
Well, speaking of things, they decided to do this. So, yeah. We've got some casting things that happen. Basically, all of the girls are going to be either Trump gals or anti-Trump gals, except for the main character. So Evie Oddly ends up as Kellyanne Conway. Mercedes Amon Diamond actually wants the lead role of Shandy, which I thought was the record scratch of the episode.
Okay, so
yes, go ahead.
I was like, did you not read, like, like, I understand you want to stand out. I can get that, totally understand that. Mm-hmm. But like, you would be taking a massive risk taking the lead role as someone who, as far as we could tell, is having difficulties with the English language, mm-hmm. has been having difficulties with the English language. Mm-hmm. And while it is lip synced, you still kind of have to know what you're saying.
You have to act, you have to emote and lip sync and dance. Like, this challenge is a challenge for a reason. There are multiple things that you have to bring to the stage at the exact same time.
Exactly.
So the fact that she wanted the lead, I was like, say, what? I was like, no, girl. And I was glad all the rest of the queens were like, are you sure about that? And maybe you'd be better in a different role. Like,
exactly. I was very much concerned when they were like, you want to do that role? And I love that they and I will give props to the queens, especially Scarlett, for not like going, no, bitch, don't do that. Like, they're like, are you sure? Like, do you think you can do it? They talked about it. They gave a little bit more like information, to kind of make sure she understood what was going on. As opposed to be like, no, bitch, you ain't doing that. Like, fuck you. And I am not going down in this sinking ship.
Right. With people. I kind of wonder if this was a manufactured moment, but it was done so well we didn't pick up on it. And by that I mean if there never was an intention for her to be Shandy, but because they wanted to have something for the camera, so to speak, they made this quick moment where she, you know, wants to take the lead and nobody's ready for it and doesn't know, you know, what to think about it, so to speak. So I don't know. I will see, you know, maybe someday someone will spill the beans from the season.
Get some tea.
Yeah. Silky Nutmeg Ganache is cast as Oprah. She has a hissy fit about the fact that it's a stereotype. And I'm like, whatever, girl. Like, yes, it's super obvi, but it's already obvious to me that you're going to hit it out of the park. So just shut the fuck up. Take the gift that's being handed to you and like ride that shit to winning. Hello. I was really kind of surprised by that. Nina West ends up getting Sarah Huckabee Sanders, which at first I was a little hesitant about because I didn't think it was going to be as fun a role, but I should know better because it's Nina and she's hysterical. And of course they got this like great shot of the two of them side by side. And I was like, okay, so we get it. They both have double chins. It's kind of mean, kind of shady, but, you know, It's a thing. In that case, Brooklyn Heights is cast as. Why am I always blanking on her name?
Ivana.
Yes, as Ivana, Trump's ex-wife. What's kind of funny to me is in the side-by-side, I was like, oh, but Brooklyn's so much prettier. Like, she's going to have to ugly herself up a little bit in this case. So Rue comes around, talks to the girls. Very interestingly, there are 12 girls in this season, and they got split into, like, three groups of four each. So I thought that was an interesting mathematical situation that came about.
Which, I was trying to figure it out. Like, so those four, so if you go Plastique, TR, if you go later, you find out who they played. Mm-hmm. So Plastique and Brooklyn played the wives, Melania and Ivana. Mm-hmm. Scarlett played Bessie DeVos, and Aria was Sandy, mm-hmm. who's like the girl. So I think they put them together as they were going to be on stage.
Right, because there was kind of packs, like,
yeah,
in how they worked, and that comes about in the rehearsal. And, of course, we have an obligatory black and white photograph of Miss Brooklyn Heights back when she did, you know, ballet for, like, 6 years. I have to say, when the image popped up, I was like, holy shit. Like, girl, eat several Big Macs, but still highly impressive. Like, just nothing but a muscle body everywhere.
Yes.
In this case. And I... So then we move on. So we move on to the next group. And this is the pantsuit brigade, I think is kind of the reference to it. So we end up with Oprah, Rosie O'Donnell, Hillary Clinton, and
Stormy Daniels.
Thank you, Stormy Daniels, which Akiria plays, which honestly, I thought she did really good as. I was believing the sex kitten, like, porn star bit. In that case, I don't have the third group, but this cracked me up because yet again, we have this thing this season where all the dolls are looking like sex dolls with their mouths wide open. Like, I'm not really sure what that's about. It's kind of problematic in my opinion. And then we end up with one of the interesting to me surprises of the season, because, of course, there's going to be choreo. So we're expecting Miss Todrick Hall to be there. Correction, we get someone we have not had to date.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, I don't know this bitch.
Oh, you know this bitch. You've probably seen videos of this bitch before. So Giannis Marshall is a choreographer, dance performer. He was on, like, America's Got Talent with a couple of guys, and they did their dance number, but they did it in heels. Mm. And that was sort of the big thing. Like, they were the guys wearing heels, and they did this really awesome, fun dance number together. I think to Britney music, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, or Beyonce, one or the other.
Right.
So they did, and he's been around for a while. You know, he did that, and he's kind of become famous, been doing all this stuff. But he's known for the whole, like, heel choreography, but he's a dude kind of thing, which,
right,
whatever.
Well, he's a gay dude, because she is one of the sassiest people that has ever been on, and I was quite pleased with her clap back.
Oh, you have no idea. She was not having it. And not only that, like, the thing that got me was, like, so tell me you have experience, you have dance experience. And I was like, ooh, here we go.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, here we go.
You know it comes every season.
Oh, I've done some dance and da-da-da-da-da. And I know how to dance, and I'm a choreographer. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. Raja.
who we later discover actually did it 15 years ago. So when she rattled off, like, 9 types of dance, it was like, girl, why did you bring it up? It's been a decade and a half.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So there's the thing. Miss Silky Ganache cracking my ass up with this. She was like, so is that on one? And Giannis is like, no, there's no one. It just goes with the words. And Silky claps back to the choreographer, could you at least give me a one? And I was like, no, she did not.
Oh, no, she better don't.
Yeah. I also will say that there was a bunch of stuff in the choreography that made it to film for the practice segment that was not in the actual performance.
Yeah.
And that kind of bothered me because I was expecting to see Ariel doing this whole routine and fucking it up. Didn't have to do it. I was expecting Silky to do stuff and fucking it up. She didn't have to do it. From what I recall, like there was just I was like, so
there was a lot of weirdness in regards to like I think maybe the producers were like, Giannis, we can't have these girls looking awful. Like what we're about to do is going to be really fun and funny and politically, you know,
right.
Whatever. So like, can you please not make the girls look like a fool? Thank you. And then he was like, okay, we're going to tone it down, like. It was at a 10. I'm going to take it to like a 5. And here you go.
Shady.
Left, right, left. Right, left, right. There you go.
And
you
got it. Great five. Anyways, so we end up with the actual musical. It's very orange because that's our theme color of the week, kittens. So there's all the ladies like from the beginning of the number. I honestly think Brooklyn pulled out the look. Plastique scarily pulled out the look. I mean,
she ain't no Aquaria though.
No, she's not. But you know, I was not a fan of the way Evie made herself into Kellyanne. I was like, okay, I get it. Like she's leathery and blah, blah, blah. But the bitch is white, not brown. So like,
it was very odd, which I guess goes for her character.
Yes.
It didn't quite
match
well. It just looked really weird.
Yeah, she kind of looked like a half melted Muppet. It was odd, like odd, not oddly. Just saying. Yeah. So, but this is like one of those shots. I love this. Omarosa, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like Melania. Like, I just love this shot. I was like, wow, everybody is like mugging all over the place, even Ariel as Shandy. They ran this number at least 2 times. Why do I know this, kittens? Because in this shot, Miss Ariel has this sweater that happens to be tied around herself. And they kept flipping back and forth in the edit, and it pissed me off because there was an inconsistency. So fire the directors and the producer and the stagehands for not catching that Ariel kept undoing, like, literally on stage. She would have been doing this the whole number. Tied, untied, tied, untied, tied, untied. No, girl. You did it once tied, whole set, did it a second time, all with the sweater untied, and nobody seemed to have caught it. But when you watch it, because when I went back and did the images, it pissed me off because I was like, wait, why did her sweater suddenly change? Because it didn't really suddenly change. See, sweater undone. You'll probably catch it in some of these images, but yeah. So it was one of those things. And then the pants, part of the pantsuit brigade comes out. So we've got Hillary Clinton, who doesn't look anything like Hillary Clinton.
That big ass hair.
Right. It's the hair that threw me off. I was like, Hillary's hair has never been that big. Not even in the 80s. Like, no, girl. No. And God bless Vanessa for trying to be Rosie O'Donnell. That was a no.
I have something to say about that, and I'm going to say them at the end.
Okay.
Several things.
Yeah. So I thought this is an interesting juxtaposition where the liberal ladies are up front doing their trio number, and then the other squad of four are off to the side. Like, I love how Nina's hamming it up and talking to Kellyanne Conway and stuff. I was just like, girl, just can't help it. Speaking of Nina, this moment was so brief of the whole musical, and I would have given her a award for it. I thought she was doing so great delivering this crazy kind of like Tanya Tucker like moment, you know, that she was belting out this sort of twangy country like lyric line for a moment. Yeah, it just I was living for that. And then lo and behold, Oprah, she appears. I have to give it to Silky. She looks like fucking fat Oprah, like the biggest Oprah you ever seen. But she looks like Harpo, Miss Oprah Winfrey herself. I was shocked.
when she walked out at this moment, I was like, damn, girl. Like,
she did a good job. Like, it worked.
She did.
She picked some great makeup. She picked some great things. She did a really good job with it, although, you know, she's still silky, right. Kind of.
Yes. Not sure about the shoes, but that's a whole other issue. And then this cracked me up about how the women were all like wearing these crazy like little, I don't know, silver hats and the, you know, choir
it's
gowns.
It's an homage to the teen angel from Greece, where they were, because remember, okay. She was beauty school dropout, so they were like right. wearing like curlers and stuff.
Okay.
Although they couldn't really do that because they literally had to take them off like 2 minutes later.
Right. Agreed. Scarlet Envy as Betsy DeVos. This cracked me up to no end. I loved the lines being performed, and Scarlet, I thought, like, she nailed it. She was she was good for me in this case. Bigger group number of everybody all together on the stage in this case. And then we get the quote unquote man of the musical appearing, and here's the big reveal with Shandy as the Olivia Newton-John Dunover number. For as much as Ariel had a crying, weeping confessional about how she was going to fuck it up and get like she was the next to go and screw it up, and the moment that happened, I was like, no, she ain't. Like, that's not how reality TV works. You busy boohooing on TV before you're supposed to leave means you're not leaving. Like, it's just, you're really stressed out. But I thought she really, you know, delivered. Iconically, you know, in this imagery, she definitely looked like, you know, the Sandy character from towards the end of the movie when all of a sudden she's the badass and appears. She does not know how to flick a cigarette and put it out on the floor, though. That, to me, was funny as shit. I was like, really, girl? There's a couple of smokers in the cast. Nobody bothered to step forward and help her with this.
Yeah.
But and then this is the surprise cameo gag of the season for me. I did not see this coming. And I'm sort of surprised they put the CG effect with her name on the screen, because I thought they were going to leave it a mystery. Because they did with the character when Trump, quote unquote, walks on. But then here they reveal in the closer up, this is actually Ginger Minj. In Drag King, like
it, I oh my god, when the person comes out, like they show him in the beginning, obviously, of the musical,
yeah,
like with silhouette and whatever, and then like he comes out later, I'm like, I think I know who that is, but I don't think I know who that is, and I kept thinking, looking at it, and then I went, oh, is that Ginger? And then sure enough, here comes the thing, and I'm like, oh, no way. It's perfect.
But it calls back to the episode one when Rue said that the Rue girls were going to be popping in and out like all the time around there. So
yeah,
makes perfect sense. Yeah. So that cracked me up to no end. God bless you, Ginger Minj, for like pulling that out for the show. And then we get to the end of the whole show. Everybody's like suddenly women empowered, and they're all like going to say, screw this. And, you know, it's going to be very, you know, doing it for ourselves as sisters kind of thing. So
power to the pussy.
Trump, the Rusical. Damon, what were your thoughts?
So I said there were standouts and, well, not. So, Oprah was great. Betsy DeVos was actually really good. I like Scarlett's take on that. There were some just like weird choices that were not quite there. And unfortunately, Mercedes was one of them. Like, I don't know where she was going with it. Obviously, she doesn't know who this person is. We find that out during confessionals that she doesn't know anything about anything, apparently. Whatever. Anyway, sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. having this whole like don't know things. And she's like, I wish I had, you know, done some research. I mean, you could have just like turned on a TV. But anyway, having said that, I was not the biggest fan of like Rosie, but I was also not a big fan of the part itself. And I will get to that later. But there are a few standouts. There are definitely like Nina is Sarah Huckabee Sanders or whatever her name is. Yippity doo da day, whatever. But her, you know, just in those little moments that she had, she was able to grab me. And that's what I want. Like, in a show like this, where there's going to be very few moments where you're going to have to shine.
Right.
You need to shine bright.
And that's what I thought when when Silky started throwing a hissy fit about like playing the expected role to be Oprah. And I was like, shut your fucking hole, bitch. Like, you will have apparently a short moment and you're probably going to eat the scenery alive. So just shut up about it.
Yeah. That's my biggest thing about it all is like, you're going to need this. I get that you want to have the lead role because it's the big one that everyone will see. But honestly, I'm just going to be frank with it. The way that they wrote this, they made it a point to kind of give some characters something to like make them shine, make them, you know, funny, gave them catchphrases or whatever, which I would have liked. I would have loved it if they had had like a press conference and Sarah Huckabee Sanders came out and just was like, no comment and like walked off. Like something, you know, just something, you know, fun and kitschy to kind of make it a little fun. Overall, just I think it's an okay, like, musical. Is it going to top the charts? Is it going to make it on Broadway? No. Is it going to make it off Broadway? No. Is it going to make it off Broadway? No. But it was fun.
Right. I said surprise cameo, say what? I was just not ready for Ginger Minj to be Donald Trump. I because it's a drag parody, I forgive her. But I was just like, it was funny and unexpected, so she gets all the props for it. I think in a weird way, I would have been perfectly fine if they'd gotten, like, you know, someone else as a male actor to come on and just play the role briefly as for a moment. Not that there's anything wrong with Ginger did, but I was just, I was not ready for it. But that's also why it stood out to me, because it was very unexpected.
Yeah.
In that case. Speaking of unexpected, are you ready for the runway?
Oh, girl. Let's do this. Let's take to the runway.
Category is Orange Alert. Speaking of big, fat orange things. So, for those of you that don't know, apparently this theme was actually supposed to be used in season 10, but they held off or did away with it, or last minute change, and then they brought it back in season 11. So I find that very interesting.
Very curious. I would love to see if like the girls maybe brought some stuff like we didn't see it,
right?
Like from season 10, like if maybe they brought some orange stuff, that would be fun to kind of like,
see what figure that part out. All right, so Orange Alert is the theme. Why is this like fucking up on me? It's pissing me off. Because of course it's not going to do what I want it to the way it's supposed to. Please hold one moment while I like get the imaging to catch up to what I'm trying to show, because now it's just going to be like super pissy with me. So all the girls have to have an orange outfit that they're bringing to the runway. Which...
Take it to the runway. Runway.
Right. So...
There we go.
Notably, Mama Ru comes out looking like normal Mama Ru.
Thank God.
It's a Zaldi gown. This reminds me very much of the season when the promo was the Grecian goddess look, where everything was like flowy and, you know, and of course it's, you know, one shoulder, big blonde hair. So, you know, there's nothing really super surprising about this, but I think Rue looks good.
It's a classic Rue look. Thing.
Right. I will say this also. So the dirt has been spilled already online. For those of you that didn't know, some of the shorter looks that Rue has been supplying in this season are actually outfits that she wore in her VH1 talk show with Michelle Visage like almost 20 years ago. Yes. So that also explains why Mama Ru was on this crazy diet last year. I say crazy, but she was just dieting. But she was very manic, like, about losing weight for like the recording. Come to find out, I know why, because the bitch was trying to fit into old shit. So I was like, all right then, I see how it is. So when you get an outfit like this, this means you can actually eat the croutons with the salad, children. And be a little bloated.
You can have two Tic Tacs.
So true.
Splurge. It's my cheat day. Let me have a...
Listen, it's my cheat day. It's too much. All right, so these are probably not going to come up the way I want them to, but anyways, all of the girls are serving looks, so as my computer decides to show them instead of an alpha order. So Miss Ariel Versace, boo, not a fan. I'm just going to call it, like,
Tell us how you really feel.
No, I don't like it. I just don't. Like, it's too much of a lot of things. I'm thinking Ariel overall as an aesthetic I just will never like. So, because I'm getting the similar silhouette, the similar hair, the similar face, like, and I'm just, it's nothing.
I will say this much. I want Ariel to wear like something completely different. Like I want her to wear like a small hair and like a fitted, like, or a blousey, like draped gown or something like that, mm-hmm. to where we don't get like to see all the body, because she pads for days. I will give her that,
right?
But like, I want like you said, a different silhouette. I want something else. Like, right. We've seen this look before, 3 times.
Right. This is round 4, girl. Like, come on.
Like, it just, the big ass hair. I really don't like her hair. Like, that's my big thing. Because look at this picture as we're looking at it right now. Look at how small her face looks in comparison to everything else on her.
Right. And I get that she's supposed to be delivering this, like, Bratz doll Lisa Frank fantasy, but come on. Like, there's interpretations on a theme that you can do. You're not giving me that. You're just giving me the same thing. It feels like week after week.
Yeah.
You know. So I will say that this outfit also kind of bothered me, because I was like, wait, Fringe was last week. But, well, I'm just, you know, it's a thing. Like, you know, she, anyways, next.
Next.
Brooklyn Heights. So I will say this. A lot of people lost their minds over this. Brooklyn Heights is very much like a second cousin to Detox. The more I watch her on screen, the more I listen to the way she talks. I'm like, yeah, she and Detox are similar in attitude and their view of things. So, yes, she's kind of giving us this Blade Runner, like the girl that dies at the beginning of the movie that's running in the clear raincoat thing, mashed up with Li Lu Multipass. From, you know, The Fifth Element. But, like, people kind of lost their shit about this. I have a major, major problem with it. And it is visible in this shot. So for those of you that are listening to the audio podcast, I apologize. But I'll try to describe it. So Brooklyn looks fat in this picture, which is not a bad thing. But I couldn't figure out for a while why this outfit kept bothering me. And I finally clocked it. Can you see how shiny she is from the waist down?
Yeah.
Because of the tights and the sheen that is bouncing off of them. And it bugs the ever-living F out of me. I'm like, really, girl? You are matte from the waist up because it's your real skin.
Uh-huh.
Like, skin. Like, all these places I'm addressing in the visual is all skin. But from the waist down, you put these tights on. And I'm like, girl, your polyester / nylon, whatever, is reflecting the light. It's so super obvious that that is fabric and not you.
Yeah. It would have been better if he had done this, like, as a bodysuit. And could put it all, and it's all, like, a nude illusion kind of thing going on. I would have liked that better than what we got here.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I like the look. I get what you're saying. And the fix would have been... it's a bodysuit as opposed to what she's actually wearing, which, while cute,
right,
you get those issues where, because obviously she's not using her real body down below from her waist down.
Right.
So we get this. Right.
And that's the part, I guess, that really bugged me the most about it is, I get it, you're not a thick girl in terms of, like, your ass and your thighs and your legs, so you can't pull off that shape, so you have to go another route, but still. Like, it just was really annoying to me, because if it hadn't been so shiny from the waist down, then I probably would have, you know, been much more on the side of everybody going, yes, girl, you know, and really loving Brooklyn's look. But, so, I don't hate it, I'm just not as excited, I think, as other people were being online. And then we have Miss Mercedes Amon Diamond. Miss Mercedes, she's a pretty girl. I'll give her that. So she knows how to paint a mug. She knows how to, like, pose.
Yeah.
And you know, look around and look pretty. So, yeah.
It's just very, very basic and simple. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's just very simple. It's like, oh, let's find this orange and gold bodysuit or leotard, excuse me, and let's find a feathered boa to put on my head.
Right.
And done.
This goes back to what I said last week about, you know, when you deliver something, like, there is the runway at RuPaul's Drag Race, and then there is the club, like, your local gig kind of girl. And this is a local girl gig. Like, I've seen this time and time again from many drag queens.
And I get it where we know that these girls aren't, like, I was reading Monet Exchange on Twitter recently posted something out about how, like, we know these girls. These are like seasoned girls. These aren't all star girls. These are very much like this is sometimes the best that they can get, which I understand, and I am giving her props for taking this and putting this out there. But
right,
you gave us you put a sarong around your waist to kind of give a reveal. Like, no, like, if you had had like a big ass like coat or something like that made of the like same like feathers or whatever that you, the boa, and right, then you took it off and you showed me this, right, I might be a little gagged.
Right. Right.
Because at least then it would have been like a bigger reveal.
No.
Yeah. But like taking this off and like now you have like, you're wearing a leotard, like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just, it's not exciting. And I agree with you. I saw Monet Exchange's like post and I agreed completely with it on the Twitter feed when I was reading. I was like, you know what? They're right. Like, some of these girls barely are able to like rub two nickels together to pay the damn light bill, let alone like pay for outfits. So they are not Rue girls yet. They have not traveled the world. They aren't making the coin yet. I get it. But if you're going to be a RuPaul's Drag Race, one of the things to expect is to bring something different to the runway, not the same thing that anybody else has. So, like, even Michelle has said, you know, if you want to wear, you know, a swimsuit, you know, a leotard, a bodysuit, at least make it look different and not super obvious to what, you know, we've seen time and time again when, you know, people are parading up and down in front of the judges.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Miss Nina West, God bless her. I immediately knew kind of what she was going for in one aspect when she came on the screen. I was like, oh, it's a saloon gal. Look at her. She, on Fashion Photo Review, got booted immediately by Aquaria. She was not having it. She was like, it's ill-fitting. It doesn't blah, blah, blah. And Raja actually tooted it. She said, because she got the historical callback, like, concept. In the voiceover, Nina says that actually what inspired her was that it was Barbara Streisand as Hello, in Hello Dolly, as Dolly Levi, who was one of the most, like, Barbara is a liberal, Dolly Levi is a progressive for women's rights, blah, blah, blah. So it was this whole, like, kind of tying into the theme of the week with the main challenge and that kind of stuff. So I found that to be really interesting that she decided to go this route. But I do have to agree, it's okay. Like, it's not.
So I've been sneezing.
I know.
This looks too costumey. And I know we talked about costumes in the past and blah, 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 it's drag, whatever. But this looks almost off the rack kind of costume shop for me.
Right.
The fact that it's not as fitted, the fact that it doesn't, it's not as exaggerated. That's why I'm getting it, like costume. Right. And I'm not trying to be mean about it, but, and I love Nina, but this just doesn't land for me because it looks, honestly, it looks kind of cheap.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't, but it looks kind of cheap.
Yeah, it definitely looks more like she made it in the first episode challenge, like when you got to put something together, as opposed to, you know, that she, and it's not that it's a bad outfit, it's just, I don't know, like it's definitely not a wow factor. It's yeah. also not the worst to put yeah. it at the bottom. So yeah. I guess it's safe in that case. I also yeah. wasn't a fan of the mug. It's very severe. Like, and you know how I feel about this. I am not a fan of big drag jewels. I have problems with what it looks like you are wearing all of the jewels as you're crossing the ocean, like and your first time to America to live a new life. Like, I'm just like, come on. This is overboard. This is ridiculous. There is a place for a chandelier, and it belongs on the ceiling, not around your face, is the way I look at it. I'm just going to say it. Yeah, and her eyes are real dark. Like, the whole features, like, it's not working for me. So
yeah, I don't know how much time they had between, like, finishing the Rizzical and doing this to get things together.
Right.
But I feel like she was like, let me do something, and maybe messed up or whatever. It just doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure. Miss Plastique Tiara, serving fish, like, definitively is definitely looking very, 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 very much like a woman. I don't know what to say other than she's quite the looker, and this hair is amazing.
Uh-huh.
These red waves, it's just, you know, I don't know if this will work right for me to show the full image of the outfit. It's this butterfly moth kind of deal. You know, it fits the theme. It's just not the wow factor, I guess.
Yeah. I think when in the fashion photo review, they kind of said it was very much something to, it was different. Whereas with One Queen, we got one look, very much like a leotard kind of thing. We got a very different look here. Ooh.
Yeah, I've got more images, but they're not popping up and it's pissing me off. So anyways, so it's okay. It's all right. You know? Of course, now it's going to skip completely over Raja. What the fuck? All right. So Scarlet Envy in this case, yet again with the claws, like, and I say yet again because I remember distinctly them before. So I'm not sure if she used them in a different challenge and she brought them back. Or maybe they made such a visual in Untucked and that's what I'm remembering. So this was okay. Like, I mean, the hair's up, swept out of her face. It looks decent. The makeup's all right. Like, but I have a distinct issue, and it is this right here, children. She made this dress and the shoes with the fabric to match. Here's my issue. Please note the bottom of the dress.
Uh-huh.
So there's a crinoline hoop skirt type deal, and apparently it's bigger than the dress, or just as big as the dress.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I imagine Jim probably would have clocked it and had a hissy fit. Like, here's the thing when it comes to costumes, kids, or any outfit for that matter. Your shit needs to fit. Yep. So if you're going to make a dress and you're going to have an underlay of any sort, I should not be seeing what's under. That's the whole reason why it's under. So it bugged the hell out of me the first moment they show her in full length from the far end of the runway. I was like, what's all that white shit on the bottom? I was like, is that a trim? Is that fringe? And then I realized that it's just the way the dress is laying. It's not long enough to reach beyond easily.
She should have put another layer of something at the bottom, some bows, some something to kind of just cheat it just a little bit. If she had done like a simple, like ruffle at the bottom, we wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah. And the thing is in another shot, when she's walking back down the runway, you don't really see it at all. So it really bothered me. I was like, yeah, this is a faux pas kind of thing. Like, the underskirting should not have been as big as it is, or the dress itself should have been just a little bit longer. And I get that maybe you don't want the fabric to hang straight down too much, but there's ways to get around that. Like, there's things that you can do.
Yeah, you can do. So, you can figure it out.
Yeah, I was just not a fan of that in that case. And then we get the real surprise of the runway, in my opinion, Miss Sugar Cane. I was not ready for this. I thought it was crazy, like, tie-in thematic, which makes me think they all knew as a package deal what was coming together, like that there was a Trump element and that there was an orange alert runway and that they were going to be the same week. So Sugar Cane was definitely prepared for this.
Yes.
Like,
it was a risk. It was a risk. I'm on the fence about it. Like, when she came out and I was like, okay, there you go. Doing something completely out the box, reminding me of like a Milk kind of moment. Like when she did the whole, she came out as RuPaul Charles and not RuPaul. Like, it's one of those things where like, okay, like if you're going to go there, right, you need to go there. And she's close, but not quite.
She didn't deliver it at 100. I'd say she delivered it like an 85. Like, I don't have problems with it, but it's just not pushing beyond. So she has a little bag of, like, you know, Cheetos or Doritos or something. And she does at one point, like, she's eating them, and then she kind of smears them on her face. And then at one point, she takes the sandwich baggie and kind of smashes it up and then rubs it around on her face like rouge. So, like, she's definitely delivering to that. The part I was not necessarily prepared for was the whole pussy grabbing thing that they like made sure to insert in the edit. I was like, oh, okay. Like,
again.
Right. The only real criticism I have about this is, Sugar, if you're going to be orange in your face and a little orange on the back of your hands, make your feet match, bitch. These queens, it's like they don't think through their stuff. If you're going to be one color, be consistently that one color everywhere. Unless you're going to ombre yourself from the roots of your hair to the tips of your toes. Come on. Get it together. Just annoyance. Silky Nutmeg Ganache. As I described her before we went live, I think of this as orange sherbet with maraschino cherries throughout it. That's what it made me think of when she walked out. It's beautiful. I can't really clock much wrong with it. I will say I was annoyed more than anything with the judges apparently critiquing that she was going 2 miles per hour or a mile per hour when walking in it. And I was like, hello, are you looking at the gown? This is not a gown you run in. You just can't.
She was walking very slow, and I will own that I thought she maybe was too heavy or weird fitting or maybe too tight. There's a part of me that wondered it was one of those things, because looking at it, it looks very nice. And but if it's beaded and stoned and all that shit, then it's probably heavy as fuck. So
yeah,
she's probably walking slow because she can't move she can't move that far in it.
Yeah,
this is big, like, pageant, like, realness dress. This is definitely like a like stone to the gods, like, yes mama, like, pageant real distress.
And she again had great face, good hair. Like, I mean, you know, there wasn't really anything about this to clock that was problematic, in my opinion. The gown doesn't quite hang at the floor or drape on the floor the way you want it to, but the problem is she's always moving.
Yeah.
This is a gown that looks better for like a photo shoot, like where you stand still and you can kind of foots the fabric and like splay it out and drape a certain way. But because she's constantly in motion, like, it just always is going to kind of drag or, you know, something along those lines. Vanessa Vanjie Matteo comes on stage delivering a showgirl realness. Notably, it's not red, but that's because the challenge was orange. Just for the record. I don't know. There's something about this headdress that really bothers me, and I don't know if I still feel this way now, but when I first saw it, I was like, why are you so disproportioned?
Yeah.
Like,
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, like, as I'm looking at it now, there are some feathers that are, like,
wonky
left that feel like they're off. Like, yeah. Maybe they needed to be fluffed up, or they're falling or something along those lines, and it feels like it's crooked.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I like this somewhat. It's a very simple, familiar silhouette.
Yeah.
You know, corseted middle, panty. She did something different. Like, she put on the, like, pasties and whatever and had the fringy, feathery gloves. Oh, no, that was the jewelry. Like, she had this very, like, intricate-looking...
Right.
Jewelry set that I thought was beautiful.
I have to agree with you, like that panty with the jewel thing, like it really caught my eye and was different.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like the hair is pretty, but the orange stripe in it, I was like, that's a, like, isn't that Manila's thing? Kind of. But I don't know.
I think it's very different. Not different necessarily for her, but it was different than what other people were doing on the runway. And I think this was the showgirl look done right.
Okay. As opposed to some queens who have never gotten it right. In that case. Evie Oddly lives up to her name, comes out with this partially eaten orange sculpted hair hat thing.
Uh-huh.
Clown makeup, bows, and this really interesting circus tent top dress bottom.
Yeah.
With striped tights. Like, it's a lot going on. It's a lot of various elements, but I don't dislike it. Like, I was just like, okay.
I think, honestly, and this is just me, like, if instead of the orange, like the literal orange on her head, if she had done, like, a clown hat or, like, a short, like, very short wig, like, kind of in that same style, but it just was a wig with the clown hat, that way it kind of pulls together. But when you put, like, the orange on top, but then the rest of it looks clown, it doesn't, it's disjointed. Just a smidge. I love it. I love this look, but the orange, I get that it's literally orange.
Right.
But other than that, it doesn't really go with everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I that's why I was like, I don't dislike it, but I'm also not a raving fan about it. What I would give her points for, if I was actually judging this in a pageant, I would give her points for originality. Like, she gets all the points because it is like nothing else that we've seen.
True.
It is not a bodysuit. It is not a leotard. It is not a swimsuit. It is not a two-piece. It is not, you know, boots the house down with feathers. I mean, you know, or dripping jewels. Like, it's just so many things it is not in this case.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, of course, all the lovely gals, you know, side by side.
And, yes, there are a few that we didn't get to see. Like, we did get to see Macarius, hair.
Yeah.
Like little Kim looking like.
I'm going to see if I can bring it back up in a moment. But this cracks me up because, like, 12 girls, 11 orange, 1 blue. Just because Sugar was, you know, standing out in her own thing.
There it is.
Yes. So Tiffany Pollard, a.k.a. New York in a house, lost her ever living mind over this look. And I don't have to disagree. Like, I was really surprised by this when Akira came out and I was like, holy, that's a look. And that's a very well put together look.
Yeah. Like,
it's like nude illusion. It's like crazy Lady Godiva, orange sherbet hair. It's jewels. It's titties. It's ass. It's legs. It's everything.
I, like, loved this look. I love that she was giving us body oddy oddy mm-hmm. without, like, I'm assuming she didn't do much tucking. I mean, not tucking, but like cinching and whatever, because it looks like her body mm-hmm. with the exception of maybe the breastplate. But, you know, go for her. Like, it worked really well. She found, they were talking on Fashion Photo Review. Like, by the way, we watch all the other things too sometimes. And this, they loved it because it didn't, like, the orange hair doesn't look like a costume hair. It doesn't look like, it looks like a real, like, hair. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she has so much of it, they were like, where did she get that, where did she get those bundles from? Because I'm just like, yeah. It works so really well together.
I love the fact that Aquarius said, I don't know where this bitch got this, and that's what impresses me about it. Like, Aquarius yeah. apparently is a fashion fiend about knowing parts and pieces and where things come from and who made it and where you can buy it online or anything. And the fact that Aquarius was floored by this hair with this look and had no clue how she came up with it and put it together, I was like, well, all right, girl. Like, I'll give you snaps for that. Like, you puzzled the queen, who apparently is, you know, not one to be puzzled. So, yeah. Akaria definitively really pulled a great runway in this case, you know, and she's posing for the gods. The hair is practically to the floor. It's something else in this case. I'm looking ahead to see if I can find our missing person that we kind of skipped over. So there's a better shot of Plastique looking like Madame Butterfly or some version. I honestly didn't dislike this. Yet again, it's this kind of, there's something going on with the proportions with some of these. Like, Mark pointed out, was it Mark? Yeah, that for Brooklyn, the pads, tights, and sheen all combined to make her look disproportionately heavy, he said in the live chat. And I kind of agree with it. When I was looking at the Brooklyn thing, I was like, yeah, I can see where she looks like really thicker suddenly from the waist down as opposed to yeah. her upper body. And the same thing's kind of happening here for me with Plastique, like from the waist down, like it's becoming a little too obvious that you're padded, girl. Like, I understand that you need a silhouette, but the fact that you are a thin boy, like, and you revealed your arms, like it's the illusion is coming, having an issue. Like, you know, like there are not many girls that have this kind of shape. If they do, they got big old chicken waddle on their arms. Do you know what I mean? Like they lost weight, but the skin doesn't necessarily go away. So, yeah, that's the thing in that case. But, I mean, it's definitively orange and it's pretty, so I can't necessarily disagree. The
grass is pretty.
But then again, I'm getting tired of these silver white shoes with orange looks that we keep seeing on the runway.
There we go.
And there's Miss Raja O'Hara. So, yet again, chaps. I've said it before in another season, and I'm going to say it again. Do not wear chaps unless you can wear them correctly, which means they fit correctly. Raja is wearing the closest pair of chaps that don't fit yet fit in all the seasons. And it bugs the shit out of me because when you walk down the runway, girl, I should not see the fabric of the hips of the chaps like kind of kinking and flopping out like with every step. No, like it should be more form fitting to you and yeah. hugging your body. That's kind of the concept of a chap for me in that case. So
I will give props to her, though. This is a very interesting look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of the chap.
Yeah.
I think it works, kind of. Like you said, it works, but it doesn't. But I like that she used the like fabric to make this shoulder mm-hmm. Fascinator, whatever you want to call it, kind right. of thing.
And notably, you know, we've got some jewels, we've got a like glitter spangled body, we've got sunglasses, we've got a short, lovely, you know, do. I mean, she's definitely serving us, you know, a look that is.
Oh, and she also wore one glove with the orange fabric or orange, like, I don't know if it was. Oh, the word just left my head.
Vinyl?
Yeah, final. Oh my god. Yeah.
Woo. So okay. This is an example. If you're seeing this on YouTube, like this image right now is what I'm talking about, where the chaps don't fit correctly. So she has one leg up as she's turning and walking, and it bugs me because you can see where the tight, the part of the chaps around the thighs aren't hugging the body, and it just like it's folding and creasing and bulging out, and it's like, no, girl, like it's obvious to me that these chaps are too long for your body. Or your hips are not big enough. Like either you're wearing the wrong pads, or you borrowed these chaps. Like there's just something that's not coming together about it for me.
Yeah.
But I'll give you props, girl, because you look good overall, and at least your shoes are orange. So
there you go. Thank God. I have okay. Yeah. So I'll go into my comments on this, and it's choices.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest things was like, pick a goddamn shoe that works, or don't like show your feet like that one. You know, you need an orange shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Orange, unfortunately, is one of those colors. The only complementary color is blue.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do something in all mostly orange, then guess what you need to do? You need to put that all the way down.
Right.
Like they were loving Brooklyn's silver boots, and I was just like, no, like I don't get that like orange and then the silver ass boot. Like it does not look right. It doesn't fit.
Right.
It doesn't fit the look at all to me. Having said that, my other thing with choices is like, we need to get over again this whole leotard thing. I understand that some of the girls may not have the coinage yet to do a lot of things, but do something else with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Plastique's kind of butterfly thing was a different thing to me. It worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
Raja and while the chaps are not as fitting, it worked for me because it wasn't just a leotard. Like if she hadn't worn the chaps,
mm-hmm.
she better have been wearing like a big ass fucking orange boot.
I would have preferred thigh high boots instead of the chaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of those heels with the chaps, I would have preferred that you wore some thigh high, bright, shiny, like polished, you know, plastic boots that came all the way up and hugged your thigh that way. I think that would have been a more dynamic kind of look than the chaps thing. So interesting side fact, if you listen to in the pit stop, I think it is, Manila reveals that in her season of All-Stars, interestingly, she said that she traveled with 10 pairs. I think it was, maybe it wasn't 10 pairs. Maybe it was 3 or 4 pairs of a identical shoe and brought like 10 cans of spray paint. So she could paint her shoes to match the color as needed, so she always had a shoe to go with every outfit.
Huh.
And I thought that was an amazing tip for future queens that are going to be on the race. I was like, now that is some fucking thinking, because in the market, they still should make them to this day, because Lord knows there's no reason to not make them. There are basic, it's usually a basic white satin shoe that you can buy. And you can have it dyed to match any color.
Uh-huh.
And you can even dye them yourself. So,
I remember those.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they still make them to this day. If they don't, well, that was kind of a missed opportunity. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't make them anymore. But to me, it's like it makes perfect sense that you would, you know, have shoes that are, you know, going to be matched to something. And if you can't get a shoe to match, then do like what Scarlett did. Scarlett actually applied the fabric right over top of the shoes to match the dress. Like, it's not that difficult to make something.
Get a couple of yards of fabric, add a little more to kind of make a shoe or make an overlay of a shoe.
Right. Like Brooklyn could have like worn those boots and then done an overlay that matches the plastic coat.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? And that probably would have been more agreeable. Like,
you know, I don't know. And just there's something that these girls and their
footwear. Like I said, overall choices, you know.
Yeah.
Suga took a risk. We got a lot of some of the like staples of drag, leotard, showgirl, what have you.
Right.
We got pageant a bit, you know. Evie has always stood out, and I love that she does. I liked her look. I liked that it was different. And I love that she didn't go the full-on orange, like just all orange look as well.
Right.
Kind of creams.
No, I agree. For me, I said not everyone's color. Not everyone looks good in orange. Not everybody can carry orange. Not everybody can wear orange. And that was kind of evident. Like,
yep.
For the most part, everyone looked pretty good, but yeah. Even Raja in Fashion Photo Review admitted that she doesn't own orange. And even Aquaria said that. It's not a color that they really have invested in their homes and stuff.
Yeah. It is definitely So for those that don't know, like as we've been talking about, orange is a very odd, bright, weird color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to match things with it.
Yeah.
And it's very like obviously they knew ahead of time orange is going to be a theme for the runway. Mm-hmm. So you had to come up with something, make something, put it together, buy something. And I can't get over some of these choices that they made because it's all kind of different in some way, but orange is not going to be one of those colors that I would be surprised if I saw these girls wearing these again.
Okay. So I would see Ariel, Silky, Brooklyn, Vanessa, maybe Akiria. And Akiria wearing this shit again. Scarlett would probably pull it out and wear it, although she shouldn't. And same thing with Mercedes. Mercedes will probably wear it while she shouldn't. Raja could wear it. She just needs to fix it, I think, before she wears it. And I see Evie wearing this for Halloween. Like as a spooky number kind of thing where she does her makeup different or something. Like Killer Clowns from Outer Space or some crazy shit. I don't know. So in the end, Silky Nutmeg Ganache is the winner of this episode. And she gets a getaway to the Grand Resort and Spa. So yay to the big girl. Sure. She
didn't want a part to begin with.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, for the girl that didn't want Oprah. Well, Oprah helped you win, bitch. So be thankful and be grateful. Better say a prayer to Oprah later.
I sense a Party City look, Party City reunion from next week. Like, I gave you what you wanted. I gave you to do something and you won. Like, go back to Party City where you belong, kind of thing. I can see that happening.
Mm.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Like,
right. Agreed. So, and then we're going to end up going into Untucked. Before we get there, though, I do want to at least recognize, remember when I talked about the girls look like sex dolls? Here we go again. So Brooklyn Heights has shocked face when Tiffany Pollard reveals in judges' critiques that she was not happy with Vanessa's Rosie O'Donnell because apparently Tiffany Pollard doesn't want to sit on Rosie O'Donnell's face. And now the world knows. Right. But the fact that Brooklyn reacted like this just cracked me up to no end because I was like, boy, some of these girls are just serving it, like whether or not they know it for the camera. And I was like, okay. Yes, yes. So that's a thing. By the way, Mark says in the live chat that Nina West performed in hers recently and it was on Instagram. So maybe it got better with time. I don't know. I'm going to have to go look it up.
Maybe.
We'll see how that is. But are you ready for our next part? All right. So let's talk real quick about Untucked.
This is not RuPaul's best friend, right?
I feel very attacked.
You're perfect. Some you're beautiful. Them.
I do not want to go home.
You just want someone to fight with.
I've had it officially.
This is Untucked. Backstage of the competition to become America's next drag superstar. Girl, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
So, yes, let it all hang out, hunty. I don't really have any screenshots from Untucked because I don't know if it was. I mean, it was interesting, not super exciting. Like, it was not last week. So, Damon, what did you think of Untucked? What was your takeaway?
So, I have to point this out. They mentioned it in the last episode. They mentioned it in Untucked this time. So mine is Kai Kai Come On. We have seen this blossoming here and there. They've mentioned it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And now we full on see the Brandy romance with Brooklyn and Fancy Mateo. Mm-hmm. That's Vanessa Fancy Mateo. Mm-hmm. There's something going on, but they're not saying anything. Tiffany literally comes in later, you know, the guest judge. She comes out, and I'm so glad they didn't bring Joel in. Let me just, by the way, put that out. Like, yeah. That. That was a moment.
Yeah.
But, so Tiffany comes in, and she, like, spill it all, you know, like she has fun and all the, and then she talking, like, has there been anything romantical going on? Because, you know, everyone doesn't know, Tiffany Pollard was New York, and she was on Flavor of Love. So the Flavor Flav, like, reality TV show where he was looking for a girl, whatever. She was one of the most, like, outspoken, wild ones that came from that group of people. And she even, I think, got her own, like, Love in New York kind of spinoff. Anyway, having said all that, she comes in. She talks about this. She wants to know if someone's in a kai-kai. And then we get Akiria grabbing Vanji and bringing her over because Brooklyn's already sitting on the couch. And brings her over, and we get nothing. No one confirms. No one denies. We get nothing. And it's like this moment, like, bitch, we just saw, like, you, like, two, like, kissing. Like, I, and not, like, the only thing I want to know if the edit, was it, like, just one kiss? Like, did they, like, or did it, was it, like, several? Because they show it, like, 20 times.
Yes.
But so it's my biggest thing is like is but it is something that's going on and it always brings up to me like, okay, has this happened before? I mean, we know that they're all sequestered off in a hotel. They don't have any TV. They don't have any. They don't have much. They're all together, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm sure kai-kais have happened, maybe under the table or under the radar, but who knows? But this is the first time we have seen definitive proof that something is happening. And I am living for it. I'm ready to figure out what else is going on. Like, is this a, like, did this just happen? Did they maybe know each other before? Whatever, whatever. You know, there's a whole, like, my wheels in my head are turning, and I want to know, like, what's going on.
Yeah. It's a thing. I said different irritates the traditional. There was just like this kind of petty stuff going on about like who and what and like this and that. And some people are just not living for Evie. And I think they need to be careful because it's not unprecedented in Drag Race season's history that the winner is the oddball, is the one that stands out from the crowd. And
yep.
So I'm like, can anyone say Sharon Needles? Hello?
Yep.
Can anyone say Jinx Monsoon? Like
anyone?
Yeah.
Anyone?
So I think Evie might be one to go all the way towards, you know, top three or top four. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. Some people just seem to be like, you know, irritated. Like,
it's very much becoming a like future drag blah 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 thing from like season five, where like we said, we talked about Sharon and everything. I could see this being where they're going to probably ask Evie to kind of do glamour. We haven't seen Evie, like, dolled up or what have you.
Right.
But I don't see, I could see that not going, that really doesn't fall into her character at all. So that would be odd.
But that lives up to her name. Like, if it's Evie Oddly, then one episode out of the entire season that she gets glammed up, people would probably not be ready for that.
I would love it if, like, they did, like, we're going to do a, like, Halloween scary thing, blah, 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 and everyone expects her to be, like, wild and crazy and go all out, and she does instead flips the script and does, like, I'm going to be the victim and be pretty as ever.
Well, maybe that comes next week, because next week's episode is called Monster Ball, and the one, the only Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, is,
Judge.
So, and she notably says to one of the girls during Judge's critiques that she can see herself wearing that outfit.
Ooh.
So maybe you are crystal ball forecasting, Damon, what's to come.
Ooh, look at me.
Yeah, that could be something that comes up. I don't know. We will see. So, Untucked happens. All the girls have to go back to the stage. So let's move on to the next segment.
Yeah. Two queens stand before me. Ladies, this is your last chance to impress me and save yourself from elimination. The time has come. Would you lip sync for your life? Good luck. And don't fuck it up.
Ooh.
So it's Untucked.
It's not Untucked. It's the runway.
I'm sorry. It's lip sync for your life. I was still stuck on Untucked, but Vanessa is going through it in Untucked. That's where I was, where my brain was.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we get the Kai Kai moment. She gets a big, like, support speech from Silky and makes Vanessa cry. And, like, just Vanessa's not, like, she's not living her best life. She very much thinks that she's in the bottom and she just doesn't want to go home. And I get that, but at the same time, I'm like, well, then, girl, you got to be able to pull it out. Like, you flubbed it in the mini challenge. You kind of fell flat in the maxi challenge, and the runway was not, like, crazy. Like, it was okay. It was kind
everything
of traditional. So, so basically, here's the thing. Vanessa's all concerned. She's worried. She's going to go home. Yeah, she's like all full up in her head. She does not go home. She is not at the bottom two. She is safe. However, Miss Raja and Miss Mercedes are the ones that are in the bottom two. And God bless Mercedes for always, like, just putting on a smile.
I can't. I
that's what she always does. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say this, but I'm just going to have to, because I just have to feel it needs to be said. My worry is that she smiles because she has no idea what's going on. Where she's just like, look pretty, just smile for a minute, and smile and nod and let it go, and then you'll figure out what's going on. I mean, she probably knew she was in the bottom. Like, she even, I think, admits it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I will say this much. So, I'll wait a minute. We have the hit spoiler before we do any of that, before we say anything else.
Okay. Yeah. So you have a fair point. We're in the lip sync. We've already spoiled, like, who's in the bottom two, but we're going to talk about what happens in the lip sync. And more importantly, in addition to that, what the song is, and then the results of the lip sync in that case. So on cue, as Mr. Damon has reminded me, in this case, we should probably put this up there for everybody. Spoiler alert, kittens.
Spoiler alert.
One of these bitches going home.
Yep.
That's not really a spoiler, but anyways. So it's Mercedes and Raja. Dun, dun, dun. They end up being the two that have to lip sync against their life. Yay! It's not a six-way clusterfuck on the runway. There's something to be happy about.
True.
They end up performing Living in America by James Brown. One of the rare instances in Drag Race history that it is a male voice that they are lip syncing to. I personally didn't have a problem with this. I just was not ready for it.
Yeah.
It also notably ties into the theme of the week for the show, apparently.
It was very much a good, like, choice of song. I just wasn't, like you said, I was not expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
But the girls do, like, bring it.
Yes.
Go ahead. Well,
you know, so Raja right out the gate, she is like a Manila Luzon. She stomps the runway. She puts herself in front of the judges. She is going to be at the front of that stage come hell or high water. That's all there is to it. So that being said, you know, she gets into it. Air guitar and, you know, all the moves. She is definitely kind of channeling James Brown. And then there's Mercedes. Mercedes is not a bad lip syncer. I want to make that abundantly clear. I don't think that she's a bad performer.
Correct.
But she's a certain caliber of performer.
Also correct.
I feel like she very much is kind of like this picture in a box. And, like, that's all there is. Like, just what's in the box. The box does not change. The box does not modify, change, shape, grow. It just, it's there. Like, that. This is what we live within.
This is what we get.
So yeah, I don't know. Again, so. Miss Raja, air guitar, like wide stance. Again, to the front, totally blocking Mercedes. Like, I guess cock blocking is a thing in lip sync. But, you know, like, I'm kind of like, Mercedes, you get what you get. Like, if you don't step forward, if you don't put yourself to the front, if you don't plant yourself on that far corner near the judges table, like, then maybe you just won't be seen.
Exactly.
You know, even in this shot, Mercedes is kind of looking at Raja. Raja is ignoring her ass, house down, performing to the judges. Like, and this is after the whole, like, debacle with the feather headdress kind of thing sort of falling off that eventually, you know, she needs to toss it to the side. Yet again, more air guitar. Like, Raja is just living in the song and going through it. Mercedes, this is what I mean, like, by the box issue. She looks very pretty, and she's delivering pretty, but, like, okay, girl. Like, I'm not sure.
This is definitely a far cry from her runway, or not her runway, but her lip sync from a couple of episodes ago, where like, she gave us life and was like owning that stage. This is definitely a far cry from that, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on. Maybe she, well.
Yeah. Eric says in the live chat, "In my country, we have no this this Brown James. Who is this you speak of?" Mark says in the live chat, and Mercedes has no idea who he is, hence her performance. Perhaps these are facts, America. We do not know. This cracked me up. So Raja's arms up in the air, still performing for the judges. Mercedes like, "Hey, Queen, what you doing over there?" Like, it's just so, it's so, like, messy.
Okay, so let me just get my thoughts out here before, because I'm going to just, like, put it out there.
Yes,
I feel like
yes.
I need to. I felt someone wasn't in it, is what I wrote down. And
I wonder who that is.
Mercedes. Like, honestly. Like, I'm sitting here looking at this. There's such a contrast between her runway from her Lip Sync for Your Life from 2 weeks ago to this one. There's no tricks. There's no whatever. She's just kind of there. She's looking at Raja, like, several times. She keeps, like, looking at her and, like either she is being, like, smart and going, "I'm not beating that. Like, no matter what I do, I'm not beating that. So I'm not even going to bother."
Right.
Which, okay, I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
I can respect that. Or she's so, like out of it or not in it that she's like, "Roger, what the hell are you doing? Like, I love this. Like, let me watch you. Let me give you a dollar." Like, it just comes off that way. Like, just like this picture. And then there's a couple of other ones, like, when she, it just,
yeah,
it felt like she wasn't there. And I don't know what was going through her head. Obviously, we don't know what's going on, mm-hmm. you know, mentally, whatever. But
yeah,
it feels like she, I don't want to say gave up.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that she maybe knew there was absolutely nothing I was going to do in this moment to right. beat all of that.
I agree.
Because Roger was living this number.
Even
so
in
much
this.
So
right. her damn little pixie, like, cut her, you know, the bus driver wing fell off, girl. Like, it's gone. It's not even there. She backbends to the floor, comes back up, no hair. And I honestly believe it was completely a mistake, like, was yeah. not intended, which I'm sure everyone could have given her grief and be like, girl, pin your hair on, like, you know, put some fucking super glue or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But she didn't expect it to come off, honestly. I think she was just like, oh, well, that's a thing. And part of it is this moment, like, so she reaches up on top of her head and continues to do choreography while lip syncing. And yet there's Mercedes pointing right at
yes,
Raja.
Yes.
Like, girl, your wig's behind you on the, on the runway.
I just very much, like, again, like, I just, like you should be performing. Like, you should have just let that go by. Like,
right.
Mercedes should have been like, oh, this is my moment. She lost her hair. I could just, like,
right.
jump into a turn and splits and land on the ground and splat or whatever
right.
and do something that would have caught their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I'm like, woo-hoo. What did you – what happened to your hair? Like, like, it just feels – oh.
Yeah.
It's
a problem.
So anyway,
this gets to my comment, which was embody it no matter what. Despite Raja losing her hair, she just continues on, girl. She is performing the number. She's embodying James Brown. She don't give no fucks. The only thing she doesn't have is a crazy big ass cape on. Although the shoulder embellishment kind of
worked.
Yeah.
It just looks really good. And I will own that I love her performance of this song.
Mm-hmm.
She should put this in her repertoire.
Yes.
While it is a guy singing the song, it works. She fucking, like, nailed it
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, okay, like, I bet, like, Mercedes was like, I can't touch that. So.
Yeah.
I know my time is done.
Well, and so. it's interesting because Mark says in the live chat, she is out of her depth on this show and there is no more avoiding it. Referring to Mercedes, like, that she just, you know, yeah. maybe she did recognize that, like, you know, she just needed to do some, just not, you know, try to win because there was no chance that she was probably going to win in the lip sync. He also said, I think it's number two from Damon's statement. I don't think she is that strategic. I don't know. Like, maybe we'll discuss it on the post show. Anyways. So Raja finishes, she puts her wig back on because, you know, back when we finally get to the judging and Rue's final decision, everybody's got to be back to the same piece they were before. So hair comes off, hair goes back on. Body parts come off, body parts go back on. Pieces of the outfit come off, they come back on. Like, everybody's set back to one. So
the basic. Yeah.
Yeah. Mercedes about diamond sachets away.
Yep.
Bye, girl.
How do I put this nicely? Actually, I will put it nicely. No, I won't. She was very lucky last week mm-hmm. that she was a part of the winning team.
Mm-hmm.
If she had been an individual judge last week, she probably would have been gone last week.
Correct.
I'm just going to put that out there. Granted, even with all six of them,
mm-hmm.
bobbing the shit out of this number, there were some highlights from them that I think if they had, like I said, if they had done them individually,
right,
like maybe Akira wouldn't have been in the bottom and Mercedes would have joined her, like, could, like, switch places with her,
right?
Because it anyway, so again,
as Eric said, no loss this week's elimination.
Yeah, I agree. While I like her And we've mentioned, she's the first Muslim queen on the show, as far as we know. I hate putting that out there, but that's something that I think needs to be said. We don't know sometimes because they don't mention it all that often. There could have potentially been another Muslim queen. BB could have been Muslim. I don't know. Like, it's just something to think about before.
Right.
You know, but they have been saying it that she was the first. So
right.
Maybe that's true.
Right. And maybe she succeeded in her mission because she said she wanted to be the first Muslim out Muslim drag queen on the show. So that has been served.
True.
Check your box, girl, on the way out the door. Just saying.
And I will say this again. Or not again, but I will say this. Like, I often wonder what's going on in her head. Like, so she leaves the show. So we get her untucked. She's, you know, let go. Unlike most of the girls, she stays in face. She's got her boy, you know, boy drag on. But she's still got the wig on. She's still got her face on. And she's, you know, packing away and whatever. And it felt weird to me. But again, maybe, unfortunately, and potentially, for her, as we've learned, she's never been really comfortable as her, you know, boy self. Maybe this was her way of saying goodbye without crying or whatever. Because she's no longer... She's in her character. Potentially. I don't know.
It's... Interesting theory.
But I'm not, like I said, I'm not surprised she's gone. I'm good with it. Like, this was a welcome elimination.
Yeah. And there's, as I'm looking at the cast of the remaining, there is two or three people that I expect to be the next to go over the next couple of weeks. To me, it's kind of obvious as to who the front runners are, like in the upper deck, the upper half, I guess I'll say. So we'll see how that kind of plays itself out in the time to come. And then before we get into snaps and eye rolls, like yet again, I just want to pay tribute to the faces, the many faces of Miss Nina West, because she's adorable and she's always serving these looks. And I just, there's a part of me that wonders how much she knows she's on camera. I've been listening to her podcast. I'm starting to think that she has no idea how like visual she is, like reactionary, and how she's constantly kind of serving up crazy looks and like facial expressions. And I'm like, yeah, girl, they have no problem like putting you like on the in front of the camera because you are just like serving up some wild kind of crazy stuff. And to me, I was happy that she was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I wasn't happy with it at first when they assigned it to her, because in a way I thought she could have been a better Rosie O'Donnell, but I think that she you know, deserves some recognition for that.
So case. I will go back to that face real quick. Oh. Just it's something that caught me off guard. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's just something that I've been noticing about her face. She got a lot of forehead, y'all.
That she does.
It caught me off guard, and I've been noticing it like here and there, but like this one picture, I was just like, oh, her face is like right in the middle. Like, ooh. And I don't see it when she's in drag.
Well, so, notably, she probably lowers her hairline when she's wearing a wig. Girl.
Also true. No, I'm just saying, like I'm obviously, but like it's just those things that I don't like. It caught me off guard again this episode, because while she has this amazing, like she gives face, but not like face beauty face. She gives like face clown, like
right. Whoo. Crazy kooky kind of serving
crazy
face.
Kooky face, yeah. Yeah,
she's more a Gilda Radner, Rita Rudner, like very comedic, like I mean, notably Nina West is a theater queen, like she's very theatrical. So yeah. I think that's part of where a lot of these mugs are coming from. That, you know, she's very expressive.
And I'm okay with it. Like, you know, she obviously loves to laugh. She has a memorable laugh, a notable laugh. Like, you can pick it out anywhere. I'm personally a fan of her and her natural hair. This is her natural hair color on her Instagram recently. Cause I just joined it during the show. That's in case you saw me looking down. That's what you caught me doing was I was, adding Nina on Instagram and she's now blonde. And I'm like, girl, I did that back when I was younger in the '90s. Come on. just saying, like, choices. So yeah, it's a thing in that case. So anyways, and Eric said in the live chat, could we please keep the many faces in Nene West for the rest of the season? Girl, I'm okay with it. She just needs to last the rest of the season. So, you know, I think that's how that works. True. If she's in this episode, I'll probably snap pictures of her face, like, from that. Could we even start screen scapping them on Insta if she gets eliminated before the finale? Maybe. Nina is serving face in and out of drag all the time. Yes. No, I completely agree. All right, let's move on to last thoughts. In this case. Put the bass in your walk. All right, so snaps and eye rolls, a.k.a. hits and misses, high points, low points. Damon, who are you giving snaps to?
Okay, I am honestly giving some snaps to Mr. Giannis. Yes! Marshall, I was loving that not only was he like a, like, they were all like the gag gooped whatever when he, like, starts to giving them their choreography and they're just like, and he was like, you better step it up. Like, I'm like, okay, like, I love that he took so we find out in this episode that Evie has this disease where she's got, like, doesn't have it all the collagen or whatever, she doesn't produce enough collagen, mm-hmm. and so she's got all the extra skin, like, loose skin, and her bones, her joints can come out of place, and he takes that, and we see, like, obviously, the fall that was supposed to be like a harsh drop kind of thing is very much now a gentle down to the floor. We saw that. But he also puts to task some of those girls, Raja, that were all like, I've been doing that. I know how to dance. I've been whatever. Like, nope. And I love that he said, like, I wish you hadn't told me that you did dance before because you sure as hell ain't showing it now. And I was like, yep. Like, don't pull out that, like, I've been the dancer, and then, like, later say, oh, it was 15 years ago, because that ain't right. That ain't cute. That ain't nice. Like, you are faking some shit. Like, I don't know how long ago, like, Brooklyn was a ballet dancer, but it seems very clear that some of that training has stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So good for her.
I was impressed with Giannis that he called out the positions – the ballet positions as Brooklyn was doing them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know this bitch, but this bitch doing a choreography at least knows ballet to call out the positions. Like, maybe she got them wrong. I don't know because I'm ignorant that way, but it sounded right. So that impressed me. I was like, okay, girl, I hear you.
I was a big fan of Mr. Giannis and his, like, moment here. Like, kudos to him for doing that. Yeah. Gary.
My snaps are for the homance. Oh my god. I cannot believe that was coined. And no one's talking about it that way. Everyone's talking about the Kai Kai. I like it being called a homance. I am in love with this idea that they be in hoes somehow on the DL. More importantly, that New York Tiffany Pollard calls out and asks the question, you know that was planted. Before the bitch walks in to, like, you know, the backstage untucked area, I know the producer, somebody talked to her and was like, somehow in a conversation, you need to ask this question. Like, and she's the perfect instigator for that kind of stuff. And I was highly amused by it and found it very interesting, the awkwardness of having
Vanessa dragged over to sit next to Brooklyn and like crickets. Like they like everything's chirping. Nobody's saying anything.
Might as well have been looking at their phone. Like
I was like, really? I was like, why are we being so coy about this? What's the big fucking deal? Like,
and that was my biggest. I agree. Like not like 5-10 minutes ago, you two were right over there, like kissing each other. Mm-hmm. And we saw that, right? Mm-hmm. Like there were like we got Nina's face look at it when it happened. I think we got Ariel's face. I think it was Ariel and Nina that saw it, and it was just like, but we're not going to say anything. We're not gonna follow through. We're not gonna like when it gets called out, when mm-hmm. the receipt gets pulled, like. Like, hey, bitches, we saw you. We know what y'all been doing. Like, we're not going to say anything. Like, okay, be that way.
Yeah, I mean, it cracked. That was my snaps for the fact that it got coined a homance. I was like, okay.
Oh. Like I said, they living in closed quarters. They ain't got much to do. And they're probably a little bit of downtime. I doubt they have some downtime, but you know.
So according to Alaska on Race Chasers podcast, because I just listened to their most recent episode, which is not this, it's not the recap of Trump the Rusical, it's of Diva Worship a week ago. So in listening to that one, even Alaska said that the crackdown on security is really severe these days, and they started years ago not allowing the queens to hang out together, not even like. Oh. When they're back at the hotel to both go out on a smoke break at the same time. Like, they are literally sequestered all the time. So it is a rare opportunity that you see two queens together. So those smoke break segments that we happen to catch every now and then are really special because they don't have that much time. And so so Alaska kind of raises the question and says she wants to know more, but she's very intrigued by this concept because the question was asked, I think, by Big Dipper, their producer, who was in the background and was like, do you think they're hooking up? Like, do you think there's some real kai-kai going on that, you know, Brooklyn and Vanjie are, you know, like doing this thing? And it's funny because even like Mark says in the live chat, the old drag queen rule is sister dick will make you sick, that drag queens don't normally date. And I've heard that for many, many years. But I've also known successful drag couples, like, you know. So I, you know, I don't think it's that far-fetched necessarily.
Sorry, just looking at the Drag Race Entourage Telegram chat, and there's a wonderful picture of Mr. Brooklyn Heights' naked body.
Yeah.
Backside. Ooh. He do got a butt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a feeling, as Mark is making reference into the live chat, that this is fodder for the reunion. Like, if Brooklyn and Vanjie were not a thing, are not a thing now, it'll be made a thing when it comes to the reunion. Guarantee it. Mama Ru will ask the question about that. Huh. All right, Damon, eye rolls.
So I've been talking about this all evening, and I kind of want to bring it up now. Mm-hmm. The Rosie segment of the Rusical. So Vanessa Vanjie is cast as Rosie O'Donnell. I have, like, that was not a good choice. First of all, that, like, no, those two don't really, it doesn't work. Right. And I hate what Vanjie chose to do with it. Like, but on the flip of that, they didn't do Rosie any justice. Like, I don't know who they picked to do her voice in this musical, like, you know, moment.
Right.
But it does not sound like Rosie. It does not at all, like, sound like Rosie. It doesn't feel like Rosie O'Donnell at all. Like, none of it works for me. And I felt like that was a bad choice. Like, a really bad choice. Like, they cast it as Rosie O'Donnell, which, like, we know that she's been pretty much outspoken about Mr. Trump, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So we know that's why she was put in there with Hillary and Stormy, because it's kind of like the antagonist or the, you know, anti whatever. But oh my God, it was just a weird voice and a weird, like, weird ass. Like, it didn't work. It didn't say Rosie O'Donnell to me. It said, like,
right.
Like, I don't know who it said, but, like, it just, I don't know if they maybe didn't have enough voices. Maybe the person that was going to do Rosie got sick or whatever. Something was going on when they recorded this, and we got this weird ass voice. And I blame whoever decided to produce this thing. So while Vanessa didn't give us a lot of Rosie, she didn't get a lot of Rosie. So how is she going to do whatever she's supposed to do with it when you don't even give her something to do with it? Like, there was nothing about that voice that was Rosie O'Donnell to me at all.
Yeah.
So my eye rolls are for that. Like,
yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. Like, it was something that stood out to me as a Thor thumb in the whole, like, Rusical performance, that, like, there was something wrong with the character to begin with, and then it did no justice to Vanessa trying to serve it, like, with what she had to do. My eye rolls are for Scarlet's Envy. We're going to go back to that thing where I said in Untucked about how different irritates the traditional. Scarlet was just, like, serving all sorts of sand up her pussy, like, about that she just wasn't liking, you know, that you know, being non-traditional was acceptable or whatever. And I was just kind of like, girl, you need to check yourself. Like, you best be careful, because if you stand out, that means you're getting noticed. As opposed to looking like everybody else, so to speak.
That right there. And I know she was probably a little hurt from last week with her falling into the bottom. And then this week, no offense, you look like a dude in a dress. Wasn't happy. We didn't like it. Did not like this outfit. Didn't like your makeup. Didn't like a lot of things you were doing. And it showed. And
yeah,
thank God you were safe.
Right. I mean, even like Mark said in the live chat earlier, the hem is a mess on that huge hoop. It should have bothered everyone. I'm surprised no judges made a comment about it, personally.
Yeah.
So, and that's the part that bothered me about her in Untucked, where she was like, you know, I went to all this effort and I made this dress from scratch and blah, blah, blah. And I even, like, put the fabric on the shoes to make it match. And I was like, girl, barking up the wrong tree. Nobody cares. Like,
nobody cares.
No. Yeah. So, that would be Trump the Rusical. Hopefully it's a chapter in our history that we won't really have to repeat or revisit anytime in the near future. However, if you would like to discuss with us your thoughts and feelings, there's plenty of ways you could do that. You can go to cubsoutloud.com, our blog, and you could put a comment on there. You can even send us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Or, better yet, you could actually let us listen to the sultry tones of your own voice.
Give us a reading.
You could call us at 361-265-8255, otherwise known as 361-COL-TALK. That's TALK. On the social media, just type in Cubs Out Loud as one word. Instagram, I finally am back to figuring out how to fucking post on Instagram to get our album art out there for each episode. Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, obviously, if you're already watching us here live. Hey, if you're listening to the audio podcast and you're curious about some of the things that we're pointing out as far as imagery, you can go watch us over on YouTube. Although today's episode apparently is in two parts because it's all sorts of fuckery, thanks to my computer screwing up. If you want to join the Entourage social chat, where it's mostly pretty much just about Drag Race, but sometimes we get inappropriate on there, you can go to tinyurl.com/telegram. That's TELEGRAM-IK-COLDR. And if you want to support us for Cubs Out Loud, you could get yourself some merch at Zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud. Like, Damon is wearing the Consent Is My Foreplay Bear Pride hoodie in a lovely forest green. I happen to be wearing our version 3 logo and like, it's not quite a 3/4. It's more like a full, like, kind of sports style.
Ooh.
Oh, look, it's Damon in the hood. Imagine that. Sorry, can't resist.
It's
too easy. If you would like to be on the inside scoop of some things, you could join us over on Patreon and become a patron for as little as a dollar a month. So if you go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/cubsoutloud, you could end up joining us. And you could actually listen to the full show and hear like our, 20-minute conversation last week about Mercedes Amon Diamond, which I'm going to circle back to here in a little bit because I got shit to say about that bitch. Just gonna say, you can also help promote us online. You can rate us on iTunes, subscribe on all the platforms, you know, support us in that case, you know. And there's a lot of these, you know, RuPaul Drag Race recap type podcasts that are out there. Even a certain drag queen who as a boy has been on COL, I'm gonna leave that as a mystery a little bit for now, has started up their own podcast. So that'll be interesting. In the meantime, Damon, if they want to find out where you are to get in touch with you online, how would they do that?
If you wish to get in touch with me, and I know you want to, you can find me as TheaterCub79 on most bear-related sites, our Facebook even, or you can find me as Pup_Umbra on Twitter.
All right. If you would like to find me online, pretty much type in GarBear73. That's GARBEAR73. And with that, we're going to head to the moon, everybody, because that's where we like to be.